This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will join me in 1 hour from now with a live hookup from Oregon to talk about the issues of the day that confront her and that confront the Constitution Party and that confront Americans as a whole. That will be Mary Starrett in approximately 1 hour from now. All kinds of additional things that we can talk about this morning. One of the things that we'll want to take a look at is this case involving Michael Bray. For those of you who have been following this abortion controversy, I received a forward several days ago from a listener who indicates that Michael Bray is having renewed difficulties in his situation with the federal government. We are told that on October the 1st, 2007, at 10:30 in the morning, federal marshals and sheriff's deputies stormed into Michael and Jane Bray's home along with Planned Parenthood attorneys. For the next 5 hours, the authorities confiscated computers, books, and unknown personal items. The Brays have been ordered to leave their home within 30 days. Michael Bray is the author of A Time to Kill, an ethical treatise on the use of force in defense of the child in the womb. The book was cited as a cause to include Bray as a defendant in the $1.4 billion Planned Parenthood complaint entitled Planned Parenthood versus American Coalition of Life Activists. This complaint was filed against Bray and 12 other defendants in the U.S. District Court of Oregon in the fall of 1995. Michael Bray spent 4 years in federal prison from 1985 to 1989 in connection with the destruction of several abortion facilities in the D.C. area. He was the prevailing defendant in the Supreme Court decision known as Bray versus Alexandria. Appearances on numerous radio and TV talk shows discussing the justification for protecting the fetus with violent force. Bray was also the co-pastor of Reformation Lutheran Church in Bowie, Maryland from 1984 to 2003. Bray hosted with Reformation Lutheran Church the annual White Rose Banquet from 1996 to 2001. This banquet was held in Washington, D.C. to honor otherwise shunned convicts for their anti-abortion deeds. Bray is the co-founder of the Bowie Crofton Pregnancy Center in 1982. He has a B.A. in English from Rockmont College, now Colorado Christian University, an M.A. in New Testament from Denver Seminary. He is the author of scholarly essays for the Evangelical Theological Society, the author of two books, the publisher and editor of a quarterly 12-page newsletter, Capital Area Christian News from 1991 to 2000. He was a columnist for the monthly Life Advocate magazine for 4 years, and his list of activities simply goes on and on. He is the sire of 11 children. While 8 are still at home under 17 years of age, Michael Bray's grown children include a 2005 graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy, a social worker with a graduate degree, and a third college graduate, presently working in Wilmington as a firefighter in training. That's Wilmington, Ohio, by the way. A substitute teacher, a high school assistant soccer coach, and a regular volunteer at the Women's Center. It's interesting to read through this news release that has been sent to me. Michael and Jane Bray now live in Wilmington, Ohio. It raises the question, what are the limits of anti-abortion activism morally and theologically? A very, very interesting and very, very complex question. Dale Crowley alluded to the Bray case very briefly in our encounter yesterday on this show. This is the news release that has been sent to me by a Dan and Donna Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N. The title of it is The Feds Raid the Bray's Home. So here you have this well-publicized case that is coming to the fore again, and the state of Oregon figures prominently in this latest conversation in regard to this whole issue. Mary Starrett and I will look at the Michael Bray case, among many other issues, when Mark Dankoff's America continues live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary will be on with me in about 1 hour from now. Stay tuned.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will join me in approximately 1 hour from now. All kinds of things to talk about in the news. I wanted to make reference to something that Tomislav Sunic has come out with. You can find this at the Institute for Historical Review. This piece is entitled The Destruction of Ethnic Germans and German POWs in Yugoslavia. That's a very, very important essay by Tomislav Sunic, who's been a guest on this show. Tom also has a CD available from Noontide Press. This is well worth your time to take a look at this for those of you who are interested in the history of the Second World War and the history that is not routinely taught in American schools and in the American news media in regard to certain events that very definitely did transpire during and in the immediate aftermath of the Second World War Tomislav Sunik's research on this is well worth your time. Both the essay at IHR.org as well as the CD that's available from Noontide Press, which I believe you can get to through this IHR.org website. A couple of other items to take a look at this morning. One of these includes the economy. The economy, the real things going on with the economy. This involves the great biofuel fraud. F. William Engdahl is somebody that I've been wanting to have on this show for quite some period of time. He and I have had some email exchanges. We haven't been able to get our schedules compatibilized to get him on. But he has a piece in the Asian Times that runs on the 3rd of October. Chuck Carlson has reproduced this as well at WeHoldTheseTruths.org. Engdahl's essay is entitled The Great Biofuel Fraud, and it says as follows. That bowl of Kellogg's cornflakes on the breakfast table, or the portion of pasta or corn tortillas, cheese, or meat on the dinner table, is going to rise in price over the coming months as sure as the sun rises in the east. Welcome, says Dr. Engdahl, to the new world food price shock, conveniently timed to accompany the current world oil price shock. Curiously, says Engdahl, it's ominously similar in many respects to the early 1970s, when prices for oil and food both exploded by several hundred percent in a matter of months. That mid-1970s price explosion led the late U.S. President Richard Nixon to ask his old pal Arthur Burns, then chairman of the Federal Reserve, to find a way to alter the consumer price index inflation data to take attention away from the rising prices. The result was the now commonplace publication of the absurd core inflation CPI numbers, sans oil and food. The late American satirist Mark Twain once quipped, "Buy land, they've stopped making it." Today, says Dr. Engdahl, we can almost say the same about corn or all grains worldwide. The world is in the early months of the greatest sustained rise in prices for all major grains, including maize, wheat, and rice, that we have seen in three decades. Those crops constitute almost 90% of all the grains cultivated in the world. What's driving this extraordinary change, says Engdahl? Here things get pretty interesting. The administration of U.S. President George W. Bush is making a major public relations push to convince the world it has turned into a, quote, better steward of the environment, unquote. The problem is that many have fallen for the hype, says Engdahl. The center of Bush's program, announced in his January State of the Union address, is called 20 and 10, cutting U.S. gasoline use 20% by 2010. The official reason is to, quote, reduce dependency on imported oil, unquote, as well as cutting unwarranted greenhouse gas emissions. That isn't the case, says Engdahl, but it makes for good PR. Repeat it often enough, and maybe most people will believe it. Maybe they won't realize their taxpayer subsidies to grow ethanol corn instead of feed corn are also driving the price of their daily bread through the roof. The heart of the plan, says F. William Engdahl, is a huge taxpayer-subsidized expansion of the use of bioethanol for transport fuel. The president's plan requires production of 35 billion U.S. gallons of ethanol a year by 2017. Congress has already mandated with the Energy Policy Act of 2005 that corn ethanol for fuel must rise from 4 billion gallons in 2006 to 7.5 billion in 2012. To make certain it will happen, says Engdahl, farmers and big agribusiness giants like ADM or David Rockefeller get generous taxpayer subsidies to grow corn for fuel instead of food. Currently, ethanol producers get a subsidy in the United States of 51 cents per gallon of ethanol paid to the blender, usually an oil company that blends it with gasoline for sale. As a result of the beautiful U.S. government subsidies to produce bioethanol fuels and the new legislative mandate, the U.S. refinery industry is investing big time in building new special ethanol distilleries similar to oil refineries, except they produce ethanol fuel. The number currently under construction, says Engdahl, exceeds the total number of oil refineries built in the U.S. over the past 25 years. When they are finished in the next 2 to 3 years, the demand for corn and other grain to make ethanol for car fuel will double from present levels. And not just U.S. bioethanol. In March, Bush met with Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva to sign a bilateral ethanol pact to cooperate in research and development of next-generation biofuel technologies such as cellulosic ethanol from wood and joint cooperation in stimulating expansion of biofuel use in developing countries, especially in Central America, and creating a biofuel cartel along the lines of OPEC with rules that allow formation of a Western Hemisphere ethanol market. In short, says Engdahl, the use of farmland worldwide for bioethanol and other biofuels, burning the food product rather than using it for human or animal food, is being treated in Washington, Brazil, and other major centers, including the European Union, as a major new growth industry. Biofuel, gasoline or other fuel produced from refining food products, is being touted as a solution to the controversial global warming problem. Leaving aside the faked science and the political interests behind the sudden hype about dangers of global warming, biofuels offer no net positive benefits over oil, even under the best conditions. Their advocates claim, says Engdahl, that present first-generation biofuels save up to 60% of the carbon emission of equivalent petroleum fuels. As well, amid rising oil prices at $75 per barrel for Brent marker grades, governments such as Brazil's are frantic to substitute homegrown biofuels for imported gasoline. In Brazil today, 70% of all cars have flexi-fuel engines able to switch from conventional gasoline to 100% biofuel or any mix. Biofuel production has become one of Brazil's major export industries as well. The green claims for biofuel as a friendly and better fuel than gasoline are at best dubious, says Engdahl, if not outright fraudulent. Depending on who runs the tests, ethanol has little, if any, effect on exhaust pipe emissions in current car models. It has significant emission, however, of some toxins, including formaldehyde and something called acetaldehyde, a suspected neurotoxin that has been banned as carcinogenic in California. Ethanol is not some benign substance, as we are led to think from the industry propaganda. It is highly corrosive to pipelines as well as to seals and fuel systems of existing car or other gasoline engines. It requires special new pumps. All that conversion costs money. But the killer about ethanol, says F. William Engdahl, is that it holds at least 30% less energy per liter than normal gasoline, translating into a loss in fuel economy of at least 25% over gasoline for an ethanol E85 blend. No advocate of the ethanol boondoggle addresses the huge social cost that is beginning to hit the dining room tables across the U.S., Europe, and the rest of the world. Food prices are exploding as corn, soybeans, and all cereal grain prices are going through the roof because of the astronomical U.S. Congress-driven demand for corn to burn for biofuel. This year, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology issued a report concluding that corn-based ethanol instead of gasoline would have no impact on greenhouse gas emissions and would even expand fossil fuel use because of increased demand for fertilizer and irrigation to expand acreage of ethanol crops. And according to MIT, natural gas consumption is 66% of total corn ethanol production energy, meaning huge new strains on natural gas supply, pushing prices of that product higher. The idea that the world can grow out of oil dependency with biofuels is the PR hype being used to sell what is shaping up to be the most dangerous threat to the planet's food supply since the creation of patented genetically manipulated corn and other crops. The main reason, says F. William Engdahl, that U.S. and world grain prices have been soaring in the past 2 years and are now pre-programmed to continue rising at a major pace is the conversion of U.S. farmland to become de facto biofuel factories. Last year, to produce ethanol fuel. Since 2001, the amount of corn used to produce bioethanol in the United States has risen 300%. In fact, in 2006, U.S. corn crops for biofuel equaled the tonnage of corn used for export. In 2007, it is estimated it will exceed the corn for export by a hefty amount. The United States is the world's leading corn exporter, most going for animal feed to the EU and other countries. The traditional U.S. Department of Agriculture statistics on acreage planted to corn is no longer a useful metric of food prices, as all marginal acreage is going for biofuel growing. We'll be back with F. William Engdahl's essay entitled The Great Biofuel Fraud when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first before the general public. So if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you have any questions or comments today, you can call 1-800-313-9113. That's 1-800-313-9113. Mary Starth, the National Political Communications.
Public Broadcasting Network. Lost you folks temporarily out there because of a technical glitch. We're back. Wanted to take this opportunity to ask you to support the No More Wars for Israel conference taking place in Southern California in Orange County the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. You can become involved in this in a couple of different ways. One is by sending your donations to the conference. Those who are not able to attend this conference can certainly help out in regard to its overall administration and logistical planning. You can do that by contacting Mark Glenn at Post Office Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho 83809, or by contacting Mark online at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. If you'd like to attend the conference, a hotel room is $124 per night, double occupancy allowed. Registration is $150 per person, couples for $175. Registration fee includes Saturday evening banquet and Sunday breakfast. Again, you can contact Mark Glenn of the American Free Press by going online to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com or sending Mark a check or money order at P.O. Box 27, Kerry Wood with a C, Idaho, 83809. We have a very, very good and interesting list of speakers already lined up as confirmed presenters in this October 12th through the 14th gathering. Mark Glenn has extended invitations to an additional half a dozen people or more, and he is still waiting for responses on those invitations. This is perhaps the most important political conference of our lifetimes, folks, for one simple reason. We are heading toward a third world war. I don't think that there's much doubt of this. This is something that's being touted repeatedly in the international press. It's pretty obvious who the main backers of this war effort are. If you are interested in staying out of war, at least a war that does not involve the true national interest of the United States, if you're interested in preserving a constitutional republic, you need to support this conference in any way possible. That's the No More Wars for Israel conference being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. Again, if you're online, you can go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com for all of the details. Back then to this F. William Engdahl essay on the great biofuel fraud. This was in the Asian Times, dated yesterday, the 3rd of October. Chuck Carlson has reproduced this essay at wehholdthesetruths.org, WHTT.org. Engdahl says, getting back into this, that the traditional U.S. Department of Agriculture statistics on acreage planted to corn is no longer a useful metric of food prices as all marginal acreage is going for biofuel growing. The amount available for animal and human feed is actually declining. Brazil and China are similarly switching from food to biofuels with large swatches of land. A result of the biofuel revolution in agriculture is that world carryover or reserve stocks of grains have been plunging for six of the past 7 years. Carryover reserve stocks of all grains fell at the end of 2006, as Engdahl, to 57 days of consumption, the lowest level since 1972. Little wonder that world grain prices rose 100% over the past 12 months. This is just the start. That decline in grain reserves, the measure of food security in event of drought or harvest failure, an increasingly common event in recent years, is pre-programmed to continue going as far ahead as the eye can see. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Starr, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will join me in approximately half an hour from now. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Had a couple of technical difficulties in recent minutes. If that reoccurs, we will go back to the phone lines again in regard to my basic connection with the studio. If you have a question today for us, you can give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Back then to this whole essay from Engdahl entitled The Great Biofuel Fraud. This was posted by the Asian Times yesterday. It's something that Chuck Carlson runs at WHTT.org this morning for you to take a further look at. When you start reading about this whole business of the decline in grain reserves, Dr. Engdahl says that this is all pre-programmed to continue going as far ahead as the eye can see. Assuming a modest world population increase annually of some 70 million over the coming decade, especially in the South Asian subcontinent and Africa, the stagnation or even decline in the tonnages of feed corn or other feed grains, including rice, that is harvested annually as growing amounts of bioethanol and other biofuels displaces food grain, in fact means we are just getting started on the greatest transformation of global agriculture since the introduction of the agribusiness revolution with fertilizers and mechanized farming after World War II. The difference is that this revolution is at the expense of food production. That pre-programs exploding global grain prices, increased poverty and malnutrition. And the effect on gasoline import demand will be minimal. Professor Altieri of the University of California, Berkeley, estimates that dedicating all U.S. corn and soybean production to biofuels would only meet 12% of gasoline and 6% of diesel needs. He notes that although one-fifth of last year's U.S. corn harvest went to bioethanol, it met a mere 3% of energy needs. But the farmland is converting at a record pace. In 2006, more than 50% of Iowa and South Dakota corn went to ethanol refineries. Farmers across the U.S. Midwest, says F. William Engdahl, desperate for more income after years of depressed corn prices, are abandoning traditional crop rotation to grow exclusively soybeans or corn, with dramatic added impact on soil erosion and needs for added chemical pesticides. In the U.S., some 41% of all herbicides used are already applied to corn. Monsanto's and other makers of glyphosate herbicides such as Roundup are clearly smiling on the way to the bank. The Bush-Lula Pact is just the start, says Engdahl, of a glowing global rush to plant crops for biofuel. Huge sugarcane, oil palm, and soy plantations for biofuel refining are taking over forests and grasslands in Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, and Paraguay. Soy cultivation has already caused the deforestation of 21 million hectares in Brazil and 14 million hectares in Argentina, with no end in sight, as world grain prices continue to rise. Soya is used for biodiesel fuel. China, desperate for energy sources, is a major player in biofuel cultivation, reducing food crop acreage there as well. In the EU, most biodiesel fuel is produced using rapeseed plants, a popular animal feed. The result? Meat prices around the globe are rising and set to continue rising as far as the eye can see. The EU has a target requiring minimum biofuel content of 10%, a foolish demand that will set aside 18% of EU farmland to cultivate crops to be burned as biofuel. Big Oil, says Engdahl, is also driving the biofuels bandwagon. Professor David Pimentel of Cornell University and other scientists claim that net energy output from bioethanol fuel is less than the fossil fuel energy used to produce the ethanol. Measuring all energy inputs to produce ethanol, from production of nitrogen fertilizer to energy needed to clean the considerable waste from biofuel refineries, Pimentel's research showed a net energy loss of 22% for biofuel. They use more energy than they produce. That translates, says Engdahl, into little threat to oil demand and huge profit for clever oil giants that reprofile themselves as green energy producers. So it's little wonder that ExxonMobil, Chevron, and British Petroleum are all into biofuels. This past May, British Petroleum announced the largest ever research and development grant to a university, $500 million to the University of California, Berkeley, to fund BP-dictated R&D into alternative energy, including biofuels. Stanford University's Global Climate and Energy Program got $100 million from ExxonMobil. University of California, Davis got $25 million from Chevron for its bioenergy research group. Princeton University's Carbon Mitigation Initiative takes $15 million from BP. Lord Brown, the disgraced former chief executive of BP, declared last year, quote, "The world needs new technologies to maintain adequate supplies of energy for the future. We believe bioscience can bring immense benefits to the energy sector," unquote. "The biofuel market is booming like few others today," says Engdahl. "This all is a paradise for global agribusiness industrial companies." All this, combined with severe weather problems in China, Australia, Ukraine, and large parts of the EU growing areas this harvest season, guarantees that grain prices are set to explode further in coming months and years. Some are gleefully reporting the end of the era of cheap food, quote-unquote. With disappearing food security reserves and disappearing acreage going to plant corn and grains for food, the biofuel transformation will impact global food prices massively in coming years. The dramatic embrace of biofuels by the Bush administration since 2005, says F. William Engdahl, has clearly been the global driver for soaring grain and food prices in the past 18 months. The evidence suggests this is no accident of sloppy legislative preparation. The U.S. government has been researching and developing biofuels since the 1970s. The bioethanol architects did their homework, we can be assured. It's increasingly clear that the same people who brought us oil price inflation are now deliberately creating parallel food price inflation. We have had a rise in average oil prices of some 300% since the end of 2000, when George W. Bush and Dick Halliburton Cheney made oil the central preoccupation of U.S. foreign policy. Last year, says Engdahl, as bioethanol production first became a major market factor, corn prices rose by some 130% on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in 14 months. It was more than known when Congress and the Bush administration made their heavy push for bioethanol in 2005 that world grain reserves had been declining at alarming levels for several years at a time when global demand, driven especially by growing wealth and increasing meat consumption in China, was rising. As a result of the diversion of record acreages of U.S. and Brazilian corn and soybeans to biofuel production, food reserves are literally disappearing. Global food security, according to Food and Agriculture Organization data, is at its lowest since 1972. Curiously, that was just the time that Henry Kissinger and the Nixon administration engineered, in cahoots with Cargill and ADM, the major backers of the ethanol scam today, what was called the Great Grain Robbery, sale of huge volumes of U.S. grain to the Soviet Union in exchange for sales of record volumes of Russian oil to the West. Both oil and corn prices rose by 1975 some 300 to 400% as a result. Just how that works, says Engdahl, I treated in detail in A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics. Today a new element, he says, has replaced Soviet grain demand and harvest shortfalls. Biofuel demand, fed by U.S. government subsidies, is literally linking food prices to oil prices. The scale of the subsidized biofuel consumption has exploded so dramatically since the beginning of 2006, when the Energy Policy Act of 2005 first began to impact crop planning decisions, that there is emerging a de facto competition between people and cars for the same grains. Environmental analyst Lester Brown recently noted, quote, we're looking at competition in the global market between 800 million automobiles and the world's 2 billion poorest people for the same commodity, the same grains. We are now in a new economic era where oil and food are interchangeable commodities because we can convert grain, sugarcane, soybeans, anything into fuel for cars. In effect, the price for oil is beginning to set the price of food, unquote. In the mid-1970s, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, a protege of the Rockefeller family and of its institutions, stated, quote, control the oil and you control entire nations. Control the food and you control the people, unquote. The same cast of characters who brought the world the Iraq War and who cry about the problem of world overpopulation, quote unquote, are now backing conversion of global grain production to burn as fuel at a time of declining global grain reserves. That alone should give pause for thought, says F. William Engdahl, as the popular saying goes, quote, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. F. William Engdahl is the author of the book Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, about to be released by Global Research Publishing, and also of the book A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics and the New World Order, Pluto Press. W. William Engdahl may be reached via his website at www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net. Folks, this is a frightening story. What do we do about it other than pray? You can draw your own conclusions as to what is in this essay entitled The Great Biofuel Fraud. But what it suggests is this, that my good friend Dr. Adrian Krieg is fundamentally correct. What we are dealing here with here is not mismanagement. What we are dealing with here is deliberate and calculated policy that is designed to drive the world population from 6 billion down to 1 billion and to create a totally centrally managed new world order where if you survive, you're going to be one of the serfs. That's what's behind this whole thing. Genetic manipulation of food, the great biofuel fraud, the war in the Middle East, the proliferation of diseases throughout the world that have not had real rational explanations for being, at least in the sense that we are seeing the proliferation of these things today to the extent that we are. All of this points in a particular direction. Is it planned? Is it deliberate? Who's behind it? Are we not dealing with what Dr. Adrian Krieg has identified as of this last Tuesday as Illuminism? Is this not Illuminism being implemented in world history? I think that this is quite clear that this is exactly what's going on here. Another piece of grim economic news from the International Herald Tribune. For those of you who are not familiar with this, this is the international version of the New York Times and the Washington Post, a very popular newspaper around the world, basically which touts the Rothschild line, although probably 98% of the readers don't understand that, but that's what it is. There is in the International Herald Tribune today a repost of something that occurred on October the 2nd in the Boston Globe, written by Robert Weissman. The title of the piece is "Weak Dollar Prompts Record Foreign Buyouts of U.S. Companies." This is what Weissman has said in the Boston Globe on October the 2nd. It is now in the International Herald Tribune. With a Boston byline, Weissman writes as follows: European, Asian, and Canadian companies are taking advantage of the weaker dollar to buy their U.S. counterparts at a record pace, increasing investment in the United States, but also raising fears about a potential loss of jobs and autonomy. Quote, "We could be looking at the world's largest tag sale if we continue to see declines in the dollar," unquote, said Donald Klepper Smith, chief economist at DataCore Partners. In the latest large deal aided by a weak dollar, Commerce Bank Corp., which is based in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, agreed Tuesday to be acquired by Toronto Dominion Bank of Canada in a cash and shares deal valued at $8.5 billion. Nationally, the value of purchases of companies by non-U.S. buyers so far this year totaled $257.4 billion, more than in any full year since 2000, the height of the technology boom, according to Thomson Financial, a research firm in New York. The buyouts are sparking anxiety in the United States, though their impact is complex. Foreign owners typically use acquisitions as an entry into the U.S. market, and thus may be more willing than American buyers to invest in their new holdings, some economists say. But the risk is that they might also be quicker to cut back or consolidate U.S. operations when times get tough. Quote, "Quite naturally, foreign companies want to play in this market," unquote, said Alan Tonnelson, a research fellow at the U.S. Business and Industry Council, a trade group for small and mid-sized manufacturers. Quote, "They want leading-edge technology, and the United States is still the technology leader. But when they buy these companies, they're acquiring control over the most dynamic pieces of the American economy, and they're acquiring control over America's future," unquote. Corporate deals are just one way the dollar's falling value is having an impact. The weaker dollar has also drawn European, Asian, and Canadian tourists, which has made it more expensive for Americans to travel abroad, and bolstered the exports of U.S. companies that sell high-technology equipment or medical gear overseas. But foreign acquisitions could become the sagging dollar's most lasting legacy. In New England, one of the regions heavily affected, 69 companies have been sold to foreign buyers in the first 9 months of 2007 for a total of $30.8 billion, also a seven-year high. In June, Philips Electronics of the Netherlands snapped up Color Kinetics, a maker of lighting systems, for $714 million. Last month, Analog Devices agreed to sell a pair of cellular product lines to MediaTek of Taiwan for $350 million. And last week, United Group of Australia completed a $411 million purchase of Unico Service, which sells cleaning services for office buildings. Some see the takeovers as inevitable in a global economy where geographic borders are no match for increasingly multinational companies. Quote, "It's part of the overall global economic climate," unquote, said Brian Bethune, an economist for Global Insight, who said the acquisitions should be judged case by case. Quote, "Foreign companies are trying to get access to the U.S. market, and generally that's positive. European and Asian companies tend to take a longer view and could be more patient investors than U.S. hedge funds," unquote. For now, says the International Herald Tribune and the Boston Globe, many of the overseas buyers are promising to invest in their acquired properties. The new management team at Sabic Innovative Plastics, the former GE Plastics, plans to add 75 to 100 employees to its 425-person workforce in New England. Quote, "We're really lucky it wasn't bought by a Dow or a DuPont because they might have moved the work from here to another one of their U.S. facilities," unquote, said Alfred Chaugry, president of the Berkshire Central Labor Council in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. A spokeswoman at Color Kinetics said, quote, "Philips is looking at us to be their global research and development center for LED-based lighting fixtures," unquote. referring to the company's patented light-emitting diode technology. We're absolutely hiring and growing right now, quote-unquote. But that is not always the case with foreign takeovers. The French telecommunications equipment maker Alcatel, which bought its U.S. rival Lucent Technologies last year, said last month that it would cut thousands of jobs. The outsizing provider Kerator, which has corporate offices in California, but almost all its employees and operations in India, recently said it planned to eliminate more than a quarter of the 350 jobs at the Boston headquarters of the technology services company Keen, which it purchased in June. Some see the takeovers as inevitable in a global economy where geographic borders are no match for increasingly...
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The 3-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've looked at three news stories today. The Michael Bray case, where he and his wife have run into renewed legal problems with both the feds and with Planned Parenthood. The Brays, of course, are based now in Wilmington, Ohio. And Mary Stard and I will perhaps get a chance to discuss that Michael Bray case during a part of our conversation, which should begin in approximately 5 minutes from now. We've also taken a look at F. William Engdahl's essay entitled The Great Biofuel Fraud. This appeared yesterday in the Asian Times. Chuck Carlson has it rerun at We Hold These Truths, which you can find at WHTT.org. Chuck has a number of wonderful things there, of course, of which this F. William Engdahl essay is one. The Great Biofuel Fraud. Who is manipulating our food supply and why? What's the public agenda? What's the hidden agenda? We've also looked this morning at the International Herald Tribune story, which originated in the Boston Globe by Robert Weissman. It's entitled, Weak Dollar Prompts Record Foreign Buyouts of U.S. Companies. What's the key sentence in the entire article? Quote, some see the takeovers as inevitable in a global economy where geographic borders are no match for increasingly multinational companies. The New World Order is upon us, folks. This is what I think Dr. Adrian Krieg has been getting at in what he has to say about this in terms of Illuminism. If you want to get a copy of his book, you can certainly do so at KriegBooks.com. It's entitled Vale, The Illuminati and Its Plans for the Future. Certainly when you read through that volume, it puts into perspective what is happening with the real minions of Illuminism and their agents, such as David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, who have foisted these present policies upon us that have us arriving at this point, which will soon include an expanded war on behalf of Israel. No question that this is where we're headed. By the way, last night, driving home from teaching a class on the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, I heard the American Jewish Committee ad that was running during the broadcast of the baseball game. Driving home listening to the game between the Chicago Cubs and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and there the head of the American Jewish Committee, Mr. Harris, is talking about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and he's talking about all kinds of things that seem to be instilled, desirous of instilling this idea that we should be so afraid of this entire situation and should be on board with what the American Jewish Committee is clearly trying to stir the pot with. That was my interpretation of the ad. It certainly suggests that when the American Jewish Committee is targeting the crowd driving home late at night listening to a National League playoff game, that they're getting to hundreds of thousands and millions of people who heard this ad last night. For what purpose? Is it another war? Is it an American proxy war on Israel's behalf against Iran? I think it's support the No More Wars for Israel conference October 12th through the 14th. We'll talk more about that at a later point in the show. We'll be back with Mary Starrett. Stay tuned.
With recent